Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's kind of cool to end the work week with some mayhem and some madness, huh? 4 hours until the weekend. That's my kind of mayhem, my kind of madness. But it's awesome when it features college basketball. I'm wondering if in your place of business, your office, your workplace, wherever it is that you do your career thing, if you've noticed there are people missing. There are definitely people missing here. I will say that at CBS Sports Network, we've got a different crew than we normally do on a Thursday night because people take off. As we know, people love this first couple days of the tournament because it's nonstop basketball, essentially from 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific until what? 9 p.m. Pacific. So you're talking about 12 hours of basketball, give or take a few minutes. And so if you love college hoops, or you love to gamble, or you love your brackets, or you want to get together with friends and hang out all day, this is the perfect day to do it. And then, of course, you go into a Friday. What we discovered yesterday here at CBS Sports Radio, there is one anchor who actually takes off so he doesn't have to be part of the madness. Whatever floats your boat. It can be stressful as well, though, because there's a lot to keep track of. If you work in our business, these are the kinds of days that that you feel like you've used every last brain cell. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the first day, the first round of March Madness. We are excited to wrap up the work week. A little bit of history, a little bit of drama. I can't imagine too many people have brassed buckets at this point. It wasn't a day in which you saw stunning upsets. Now, we did see a couple of teams push to the brink. The Michigan State-Bradley game was really good and also gave me heart palpitations because I think in one of my brackets I picked Michigan State, which people tell me you should know better. This happens every year with the Big Ten, with Michigan State. It certainly has happened before. But that game with Bradley, I just love the fight of the Braves. It was really good. It was a rock fight, as a matter of fact, back and forth, a major tug of war. So that was one game that I really enjoyed. I also really enjoyed the performance of Ja Morant. If you don't know his name yet, you will know his name. The 8th triple-double in tournament history. Think about the history we're talking now. NCAA Division I tournament, whether it's the Field of 68, whether it's going back to the Field of 64, however you remember your first March Madness experience, your first tournament. I mean, it's something that I looked forward to even when I was a kid. Well, there have only been 8 triple-doubles in the history of the NCAA tournament, and this is the first since 2012. But what a performance from Murray State, one of the vaunted 12 seeds, and Ja Morant. I saw one link, maybe it was a column, I can't remember if it was a column or a tweet, that said to the effect Zion Williamson needed to move over because there was another star in this big dance. Morant is a guy who can do it all on the basketball court, and he did in helping Murray State to pull off one of the 12-5 upsets. 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds. And that was a game that took place in Hartford. So if you were in Hartford at the XL Center, well, you got a good show. But you also got, in terms of seed, the biggest upset of the tournament so far. And then Fletcher McGee, shades of Steph Curry at Davidson 10 years ago, because both
Wofford and Davidson are in the Southern Conference. And if you remember, now I do remember, I was at my previous network, but this was a performance for the ages when Steph was his sophomore year, I think? Sophomore year at Davidson. And he helped Davidson get to the Elite Eight, and he shot the lights out. And even if you knew the name Del Curry and knew the Curry legacy in hoops, it was Steph Curry's introduction to the national stage. And little did we know where it would go from there. But on Thursday night, Fletcher McGee became a bit of a household name. I just like the name too. It's different. How many other Fletcher McGees do you know? How many have you ever heard of? Well, in the second half, he hit his 505th three-pointer and set a brand new Division I record. Now, he finished up with 7 total threes and 24 points as Wofford. And this is just as important, just as significant. So you have both the individual history for McGee, but you also have the school achievement of winning its first ever NCAA tournament game. And so if you're Fletcher McGee, it's kind of a heady night, right? He set the career record for three-pointers in Division I, and Wofford upended Seton Hall for its first ever tournament victory. By the way, he's now at 509 career three-pointers. So really neat to see some of these young men rise to the occasion and introduce themselves to sports fans all over the country. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. The Rocket Mortgage, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Certainly there were some popular upsets that got a lot of play on this first day. Wofford actually wasn't an upset because Wofford's the 7 seed. St. Mary's was a popular pick over the national champ in Villanova. One of the things that I always talk about with champions, whether it's at the college level, whether it's at the pro level, it's really difficult to simulate the type of experience. In fact, it's near impossible. You can have a team that's made up of all seniors. You can have a team that's made up of upperclassmen. But Villanova and the guys who are left over from their title last year, of course, Jay Wright and his coaching staff, they have a different kind of experience because they're one of the coaching staffs, one of the programs that's got anyone on the court who knows what it takes, literally understands what it takes to survive and advance all the way to the end until you are the last team standing. And it's one reason why champs are always a very tough out. Again, especially if they have some of that experience remaining. And even though it was a roller coaster ride of a season for the Wildcats, come tournament time, it's a different approach and it's a different attitude.
Alley-oop and a two-fisted jam. Booth to Cosby Roundtree. The Villanova lead is 8. Booth had a lot of trouble getting it in, but Pascoe made a nice play. Now Gillespie to Samuels and a two-fisted dunk with 1:01 left to go. They struggled to beat the pressure, but once they did, they extended to an 8-point game. Here's Ford bringing it across half court. 8 seconds left in the ball game. Ford drives and he's stripped of the ball. Bay stole it. Ahead to Samuels. 2 seconds left. Samuels to Pascoe, and the ball game is over. Villanova's defense saves them from a late charge by St. Mary's. And the defending national champions win their first tournament game here in 2019 by a final of 61-57.
The Wildcats are a 6th seed this year. Again, an up and down season, but they've got 2 guys on their team who have been part of both national championships. Remember, 2 in the last 3 years. Phil Booth is one of those, and he scored 20 points. But the defense of St. Mary's, really impressive. Now, remember, this is the St. Mary's team that knocked off Gonzaga in the championship of the West Coast Conference. And so that's how the Gaels got in with that automatic bid. And they matched up well, really gritty. It was a hard-fought game, and for a while it looked like St. Mary's might upend the defending champ in the opening round. Scott Graham with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Jay Wright, sometimes he looks like he has aged 10 years in the course of a basketball game.
Man, are they good. It is just so impressive to play against them, how disciplined, how well-coached, how they execute. They're really good. It was no surprise to us that it was that difficult of a game.
Sometimes it's about the matchups and just the way, the styles that they play, the two opponents play, and how one team might be able to control the pace, one team might have a major advantage. But again, the experience is something I always come back to. In college, it's a little different than it might be in the pros. But because the turnover happens so often in college hoops and college football, same thing, when you do have guys that have been part of national championship runs, it's invaluable. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Did you have a favorite game, favorite moment from this opening round? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Dave is back with us. He's standing. He's upright, which is good news. 90% is what he told me, back to 90%. So we're glad to have him back after a couple of nights away. We missed you when we put together our video to reveal our own Final Fours, so we had to do it without you. Did you end up doing your bracket? Because we were worried that you might have prioritized getting healthy over doing a bracket, which is stunning.
I submitted my bracket on the After Hours bracket at 11:59 a.m.
So, meaning 1 minute before the brackets were closed, 11:59 a.m. Eastern time, and of course the first game's tipped off a few minutes after that. So, would you care to reveal? Now, did you watch the video that we did for you? We were sending you subliminal messages to let you know we missed you, but I don't know if you caught them.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will watch it. Sure, I have Duke playing Michigan on that side of the bracket, and then who do I have? UNC playing Tennessee on other side of the bracket, and then Duke UNC in the final.
Duke
cutting. I know they're the favorite, but I just don't see them losing. I have Duke winning the whole thing.
Well, if Michigan State had gone out on Thursday, that would have been one major hurdle wiped out for sure, because that's the East region. So let me see if I get this right. You have 2-1s and 2-2s. But 2-1s in the championship game. Yeah, so I ended up picking some upsets. For instance, I had the Murray State game. I really, like a lot of people, love those 12-5 matchups. And so you pick a lot of upsets early, and what happens is then you get back to chalk because it's hard to imagine that one Cinderella is going to continue going. That's always the beauty of it with a team like a Loyola Chicago from last year. But if you think about the UMBC game, they upset the number one seed, but then they, you know, the tournament continues and you wipe out a number one, and it makes it easier for the other higher seeds to continue moving on. So we did end up with just one top seed playing on Thursday. So Gonzaga had a fairly easy time of it against Fairleigh Dickinson. And we knew this would be an uphill battle for the Knights because Fairleigh Dickinson was in Dayton two nights ago and literally had to travel to Salt Lake and play another game within 48 hours against a top seed. So we knew that was going to be difficult. Gonzaga won that one going away. And the opponent in the next round in the the round of 32 will be Baylor. Baylor takes out Syracuse in the first game of this tournament. And I figured it would be a really difficult game for Syracuse, already down a couple players, but missing Frank Howard, their point guard, their leader in steals, the guy who really steadies them at times on the court. So they just didn't have enough to keep up with Baylor down the stretch. So you've got Gonzaga, the only top seed in action on Thursday, moving on to play Baylor. And then, as mentioned, the defending national champ, Kentucky, the two seed in the Midwest region, had absolutely no trouble. Michigan, another two seed, manhandled Montana And so you have kind of a lopsided bracket right now with most of the action taking place on the left side or the east-west portion of the bracket. So again, you can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. If you haven't seen our video, well, it's on both of our social media sites where Chris and I reveal our final fours. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Stops at the free throw line. Up top to McGee. McGee left side for three. It's good! There's the record. The most threes made in NCAA history. It's number 505, and it gives Wofford a 43-30 lead.
I was aware of it just from, you know, the media and everyone texting me and stuff saying I had three more or whatever. So when I hit it, I noticed the crowd was definitely louder than just a normal three in the second half. But, you know, I feel like I didn't get too caught up in it. You know, we still, you know, it was a close game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That it was. Well, it was a close game for a while. Wofford ends up pulling away from Seton Hall. And Fletcher McGee is now the career three-point leader in Division I NCAA history. But just as importantly, more importantly for the team, for the program, for the franchise, it's the first ever win in March Madness for the Wofford Terriers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And that record setter, if I could find, there's so many calls on my sheet, Tom McCarthy on the Westwood One Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just happened to look at our bracket challenge standings. Now, I think, yes, this is the After Hours Bracket Challenge. I've got multiple brackets, as many of you do. And so I wanted to make sure I wasn't reading you my family standings. No, we have two people in the After Hours Bracket Challenge who have perfect brackets after the opening day. So Dennis and Lisa. Dennis Way and Lisa Maravich both have perfect scores at this point. Now, it's early, but they went 16 for 16 in the first round. I think in this bracket, I went 13 of 16. So I did not have a perfect bracket, but it also didn't look like a crime scene. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Facebook as well. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Do you have a favorite moment or a favorite game? There certainly was a wild end to the Auburn clash with New Mexico State. So this was another game in which it looked like there might be an upset. Another one of those 12-5 matchups. And New Mexico State had fought and scratched and clawed to get back into this game with Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers. It was a game that was during the daytime. So if you didn't see it, the ending was stunning. I will give you that. It was one of those where you just didn't understand what was going on. And it was jaw-dropping moments. And so I want to set it up for you. Actually, you know what? I will let you hear the audio, and then we'll pick apart the various moments after that, just because it's stunning to hear it as well with John Sadak on the Westwood One Radio Network. But there were more moments even that I know that these young men are now thinking, oh man, missed opportunities. We had it if we just capitalized on one of them.
They do harass the man who's trying to find it. Harris, chest pass in, 6 seconds. Harris across midcourt, 4 seconds, down the lane, whip on the right wing, Terrell Brown for the win. Shoot three, and he could win it for New Mexico State. 1.1 seconds. Front court left. Near baseline entry. Harris calls the break. 1.1. Finds Queen. Quarter three for the win. Air ball. And Auburn wins it. The Aggies crestfallen. McCants doubled over mid lane. Streaming emotion for both teams and a gasp for air as Auburn largely dominates the game and hangs on to win by a skinny point.
It was It was a stunning ending, and John does a great job on Westwood One with the skinny point, exclamation point. So let's break down some of these moments. Let's go to, let's say, 8 seconds left, because so much happened in the final 8 seconds of play that it was hard to keep up with. With 8 seconds to go, New Mexico State hits a three and is now trailing by 1 point. All right, so they call a timeout. Then on the inbounds, they put... So at this point, Auburn has the ball. They inbound and they, no, sorry, they inbound. They let Auburn inbound and put Auburn on the free throw line, but Auburn misses the free throw. So it's still 77-76. Second free throw is good, 78-76. And then there's an inbound situation, which you heard with John. So New Mexico State has the ball. AJ Harris has a wide open lane to the hoop. You can go, you can find the video. In fact, producer Chris, if you want to find the video, it's all over the place. A wide open lane to the hoop, which would have given him a layup to tie the game. And instead, he gets underneath, literally right there at the rim, and whips the ball out to the right wing, where he's got Terrell Brown for a three. Brown gets fouled on the three-point attempt. Again, New Mexico State, the Aggies are trailing by 2 points. So instead of taking the layup to tie, Harris then whips the ball out to his teammate, Terrell Brown, who doesn't make the three, but does get fouled. So before we talk about the last second, here's AJ Harris on passing the ball out instead of taking the layup.
I seen the points, and we was down two. I just felt like Terrell Brown was clearly wide open. He got a great shot off. He got fouled, and I was just trusting my teammate, my partner.
So that's his explanation. Instead of taking the layup to tie, he whips it out to Brown, who does get fouled. So if you think about it, he didn't take the sure thing. I guess there's no such thing as a sure thing, but a higher percentage bucket. He does set his teammate up, who has the three, gets fouled, which is crazy in and of itself. The Tigers foul a three-point shooter with a second to go, up by two. Except Brown misses two of three free throws. So now they're still trailing by a point, and would you believe they get the offensive rebound? So he misses the first free throw. He makes the second, he misses the third, they get the offensive rebound. With 1 second to go, they inbound again. And Trevelyan Queen misses the three-pointer in the corner. He did have a look. And so think about everything that happened in those final 8 seconds. Missed free throw for Auburn that would have given them a three-point lead. New Mexico State passes up on a layup instead, kicks it out. Tigers can't play it straight up. You put the three-point shooter on the line. He misses two of three, but the Aggies get the offensive rebound and then have one last shot, but it's an air ball. I mean, the roller coaster ride. Talk about the drama. And so Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers survive. And I mean, he also looked like he had he had aged 10 years. But you know, Bruce, he rarely has a voice this time of the year, at least not a full one.
Our kids worked hard to build that lead. And obviously, we did not do a great job of taking care of the ball. But give New Mexico State credit for pushing us to the limit.
So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can see the final few seconds as the Aggies go the length of the court and Harris ends up kicking out for a three. Now, you can certainly look back now with hindsight and say, hey, if he just takes the layup, maybe they're in overtime. However, they did get three free throws that potentially could have won the game. So I'm not sure if you're in the position of Harris and Brown. And how about Queen? Queen has a wide open look at the hoop. Those three guys. I was trying to think about who would I, if I was one of those guys, who would I think would feel worse? Or if I was in their positions, I think for me, all of them, just they're all going to blame themselves for the loss. But the domino effect started with Harris giving up the layup. But then Brown, of course, missing two of three free throws. That's not easy to say. Just a spectacular but also stunning finish. And so Auburn does hang on, and we don't get the 12-5 upset in that game. Everything from the foul, Auburn did everything they could to lose that game. Everything from fouling a three-point shooter with a second to go to giving up the offensive rebound. And like as I say, that was early in the day. So, whew, buckle up. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't seen our video, and Chris and I reveal our Final Four, well, you can do that as well on Twitter and also on Facebook. Always good to talk about some March Madness. It's a different kind of feel these next few nights. And in fact, these next few weeks.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And Ja Morant standing alone inside half court with the dribble intact. He's out, four down on the baseline, 7 seconds left in the half. Oh, crossover, step back, three-pointer, Morant, got it. Here they go, Morant goes for the corner on the right side. Brown nails a three-pointer. More transition basketball and an 18-point lead for Murray State. And Johnson dribbling the clock away. Murray State, the 12 seed in the West, wins in convincing fashion over the 5-seed Marquette. 83-64 behind a performance for the ages from sophomore Ja Morant at a triple-double.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nerd alert! The last player to have a triple-double in the NCAA tournament, Draymond Green in 2012 for Michigan State and Tom Izzo. By the way, I saw a picture of Dre with Coach Izzo from his days at MSU. He is so much thinner now. I mean, he's in such better shape. You think about athletes at the college level, especially elite programs like the Spartans, and you just assume that they're in great shape, right? But it's completely different than basketball is your profession and playing as many games as they do with the travel that they go through at the NBA level. So he almost looks like a different guy. You could recognize him, but he's so much leaner now than he was when he played at Michigan State. But he did have a triple-double in 2012 in the NCAA tournament. But Ja Morant of Murray State helping to lead the Racers in a victory over the 5-seed. Murray State beats Marquette in that 12-5 matchup. And then we talk about the craziness sometimes of 12-5s. Well, the New Mexico State Auburn finish that we just went through was also a 12-5 matchup. So they tend to provide some really good drama because you have mid-majors who've won their conference tournaments who are veteran-laden. They're heavy with upperclassmen, and they're coached really well, and they have a good chemistry. But we did get at least one. So I don't know how many you pick. 413s are also popular upset picks. And so if you went for the upsets, you didn't do... Well, I guess it depends on which ones you picked. You may have done well, but there weren't huge chalky upsets on Thursday. Let's see if we get them on Friday. Remember this time last year, we had a Friday night upset of UMBC over the top seed in UVA. I think I'm okay now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was touch and go there for a second. That was some awesome radio, by the way. Don't tell anyone. Is it possible that we could cut that out of the podcast, actually? Dave's the one who's sick. What's that about? 855-212-4227. Let's see. Ja Morant, by the way, had 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds. He's got a giant smile. And as I say, a triple-double, just the eighth in tournament history.
16 assists. Obviously, I can't get an assist without them making the shots. And I just feel like I have great players around me, and they made me look better.
I mean, of course, That's the right way to answer that question. 16 assists. Well, my teammates had to make the buckets, so it wasn't all me. Brian is listening in Burlington, Mass. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Don't worry, I'm not dying.
Hey, Amy.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, so I've been reading for a while. Ja Morant needed to step up during this tournament to lock his pick in the draft. He did a hell of a job today, triple-double. Averaged 25 points and 10 assists all year. Is he the real deal? He's on a well-seeded team, but
who cares?
I feel like he's the next guy.
Yeah, I don't know that the seed has anything to do with it. The seed is all about team and all about conference and all about – it's really a product of your environment. It's not so much about you. But if you think about the fact that Damian Lillard went to Weber State, not every NBA player comes from an elite blue blood school. Sometimes it's a better fit for them to go somewhere else, and they need a different kind of development. So to perform on the NCAA tournament and to lead your team to its big victory in this 12-5 matchup when you know you're the underdogs, it certainly is the real deal. To watch him, you know he's the real deal.
Well, I feel like everyone was expecting this upset.
Yeah, that's fine.
And is this going to continue? Is he going to be able to pull his team further?
You tell me. I am guessing just as much as you are, Brian.
The way he played today, I think he has it. I think he's the guy, like a Steph Curry or Gordon Hayward.
Certainly
helps.
It certainly helps when you have 23 assists on 30 buckets. And so he talked about the 16 assists that he had, and that's good. He's the facilitator. But to get everybody involved the way that he did and the way that the Racers did, that's huge. Part of keeping a defense off balance is sharing the basketball, moving it around. And so they shot nearly 54%, but they also had an assist on the majority of their buckets, which is big.
Well, can the rest of the team hold up with him?
We shall see. I guess we'll see. I have no idea. It's March Madness for a reason, Brian.
Hey. It's fun, though, huh?
It is. I enjoy it. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Robert, who's in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Hope all is well.
Thank you.
Hey, Auburn fan here, and believe it or not, we should have lost that game, and I'll tell you why. If he would have went up for that layup, that final second, you got to remember Auburn had three players that fouled out, and our floor general and Harper was one of them. So if we would have went in overtime, I believe we would have lost big time. So I see what you thought about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're playing with major fire because you're already down at that point. And credit New Mexico State because they scratched and clawed to get back into that. But the game is not just a few seconds at the end. Auburn did the work, as Coach Pearl pointed out. Auburn did the work to build a lead. And at the end, the stupid decisions, right? I mean, the in the second foul, with so little time left. It's a win. That's a win. It's a win. It's a win. And so you want to think body of work, but it's easy to dwell on those last couple of seconds. But if you think about the fouls out too, I mean, that changes the rotation and it changes the guys that are on the floor. And so it's total mayhem at the end. And all you're doing is trying to survive. Oh, he's gone. Goodbye, Robert in Birmingham. I am not going to retweet this, but we just got a tweet from a listener who is making fun of me for my coughing fit. So, yeah, you can check that out. I'm not going to retweet it, but it is funny. It comes from a character of my favorite all-time show, Friends. I love this from Kara. She says, my bracket is still good. 16 of 16. My final four is Duke versus Gonzaga and Tennessee versus UNC. So she is going mostly chalky with three top seeds and one number two seed. Final, she is Duke and UNC, similar to Dave, who managed to recover from a near coma to fill out his bracket. And she says Duke is shipping it. That's funny. I've only heard that in terms of relationships, not in terms of championships, but I like the term. She says, go Blue Devils. But she gets major bounty points for this, guys. For the record, I created a Twitter account just so I could shout at you. Boom! That's awesome. Thank you, Kara. It's good to hear from you. A-Law Radio to find us on Twitter, and then 855-212-4227. Can I tell you something that has absolutely nothing to do with basketball, but it makes me happy? Thursday is the 7-year anniversary of me adopting my dog. And she's so much older and slower now and teaching me patience, whether I like it or not. But I couldn't resist posting a couple of pictures of her on Twitter. So I pinned them to the top of my Twitter page, my profile page, so you could see them. She is the same sweet, funny, quirky, expressive dog. So I was on the phone talking to someone on Thursday evening for a minute, and I happened to raise my voice. I was really excited. I wasn't yelling at someone, but I was yelling because I was really excited. That's what we Italians do, you know, and I was probably talking with my hands as well. And Penny doesn't like loud noises. Well, that includes me. So she went and hid behind the dining room table. So when I looked up and realized that she was hiding from me behind the dining room chair, I thought, okay, well, maybe I was just a little bit too loud then. Thanks, Penny, for reminding me. Also, she doesn't like football because it's too loud. It's the noise from the football that she doesn't like. She's okay with basketball, but when it comes to football, whatever the, maybe it's the clashing of the helmets or the whistles, I'm not really sure. But she always goes upstairs to the other part of the house when I'm watching football. Plus, I frequently yell at the TV, and that also makes her uncomfortable. She is deathly afraid of thunder and is deathly afraid of fireworks. But this dog will follow me anywhere. If it's the middle of a rainstorm, she'll follow me anywhere. She just does it much more slowly now at nearly 10 years old. But I remember the day I brought her home, and I loved her. I was so happy to have her, but little did I realize how much she would dominate my life and my routine. My friends tell me it's like good preparation for having kids, although I understand you cannot leave your kids at home like you can your dog, but she definitely is the first thing I think about when I wake up, mostly because she's staring at me, and she's the last thing I think about before I go to bed because I have to figure out how quickly I have to wake up in the morning to take her for a walk. Yeah, it's all about Penny's routine. And can I tell you a really quick story from earlier this week? I was having toast for breakfast. My dog can be asleep upstairs, other part of the house, dead to the world. But if I open up the bread bag, that dog knows. She loves bread crust. And so I'm trying to eat my toast, and I realize someone's watching me. And I look up, and my dog is, again, hiding behind the dining room chair, but the big brown eyes are staring at me. They're fixated on me. Well, they're probably fixated on my toast. That dog would beat me in a staring contest any day of the week. She never blinks, not when it comes to toast. So I love her. 7 years ago today, my sweet Penny. So you can check out those pictures on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, you know what? I should put them on Facebook too. Sorry. I don't mean to discriminate. 1 hour down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.